How many of you want more? More, more, more. Let's have some more singing, shall we? That's a human thing, isn't it? Don't we always want more of a good thing? Don't we want more, right? More faith, more trust, more hope. This morning I pray that all of you are going to become hopeaholics. Yay! And the only meeting you have to go to is here at church on Sunday mornings. See, when you come to the meeting in this place, when you hear the message from God through the music, through the scriptures, you will become a hopeaholic. I can promise you that. That no matter what is happening in your life or in our world or anywhere around us, we can always, always, always have hope, can't we? Hope. So how do we get that hope? Where does it come from? It comes from God. Let's look at Psalm 25, and we're going to see. David writes this psalm, and David's life was imperfect. Did you know that? David was the great giant slayer, right? He just threw that rock and knocked Goliath down, didn't he? There's a man who had hope in God, right? He saw that giant before him, and he picked up a little teeny tiny stone, and he said, the same God that saves me from the lion and the bear will also save me from this Goliath, and threw a stone, and bam-o, down Goliath went. There's a man who had hope, right? One would think he had to have hope, right? Otherwise, he's pretty stupid, right? I mean, well, his hope was in God, right? So if you hope only in yourself, and you put your hope only in your tools, your weapons, or your stones that you carry, your hope isn't in that. Your hope is in God, always in God, right, exactly. And so David had that was a great moment in his life. Man, he was like just a little shepherd boy, 14 years old, when he knocked down Goliath. Wow, what a magnificent beginning to a man, right? And to his faith walk, right? He had a lot of faith, didn't he? And then the thing about David is, much like most of us, he also had a great fall. He was a person who was imperfect. You know the little story about Bathsheba? He saw her bathing, and he lusted after her, and her husband was away at war, and he was like, man, she looks good. Ooh, 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 ooh. Be careful what you're looking at. And even if you're looking, don't touch. Very good. Words to live by. Wisdom coming right from the congregation. Awesome. Hands off. Whew. So David had a major fall. He did, unfortunately, touch. And unfortunately, he decided to get rid of Bathsheba's husband in war, put him on the front lines, committed essentially murder. Wow. How do you go from a giant slayer to suddenly, whoa, an adulterer and murderer? Awful, right? You would think by then God was done with them, right? We all have hope, don't we? We have hope in forgiveness. We have hope in knowing that God will still love us in spite of or despite some of our mistakes or bad choices. And God forgave David. And then David was hunted by Saul, and there's this whole problem with all these kind of things that he had going on in his life. Some were self-inflicted, and some were other-inflicted. And so David, much like most of us, has had one of those kind of lives. Anybody had one of those kind of lives? Right? You know, you're up, you're down, you're all around. You get dizzy. Oh, who knows what's going to happen next? And oh, my goodness, what's going to happen? And if you're not careful, you can begin to lose your hope, can't you? Because when circumstances define what you feel and what your faith is, very often you can lose hope. Can't you? We can. But will we? No, because we're hopeaholics. Other people may, not us. We have hope and faith. And David wrote this psalm. I'm bringing up David because, you know, he was someone who was honest with God. And he also was someone who kept seeking after God, even after he made mistakes, even after he faltered. He didn't give up even on himself. He didn't feel as though God would just shove him aside and that'd be the end of him. He still had hope. There was a glimmer of hope that God would still love him and take care of him, despite his circumstances, despite his mistakes, despite his failings, despite whatever was going on in his life. And so he writes Psalm 25. And this is probably written at a time when he had been through all kinds of life journey, as many of us have. And then we'll get to the message of hope, right? Because we're all hopeaholics, aren't we? Yes, I hope those on Facebook are becoming one too. Awesome. They can come to our meetings, yes. Psalm 25, verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. I trust in you, my God. Do not let me be disgraced or let my enemies rejoice in my defeat. No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced. No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced. But disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. Verse 4, show me the path where I should walk, O Lord. Point out the right road for me to follow. So what is David asking for, right? He's saying, I'm putting my trust in you. And then show me the right path to take. So now he's asking for guidance. He obviously knows he's made some mistakes. So in order to move forward and do less of them, he asks God for direction. And he's asking God to show him the right path. Point out the right road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me. For you are the God who saves me. God saved David, didn't he? Saved him from Goliath. Saved him even from himself. Saved him from defeat from Saul and all the other armies that had chased him down, all the enemies that were trying to destroy him. God saved him from every single one. Saved him from the lion and the bear, all those kind of things. Has God saved you from a lot of things? Yes. We wouldn't be here today if God hadn't saved us from some of our mistakes, right? It's a wonder some of us are even here today, considering the holics we were. But not a hopeaholic. Next verse. All day long, I put my hope in you. When do you need hope? All day long. All night long. Every single day, every time you're going through anything throughout your life, when do you need hope? All day long. All night long. Forever and ever and ever. No matter what's coming your way, no matter what seems to be on the horizon that might be scary to you, there might be some things that you are in fear of as we age. Some of us get, you know, wonder about what the future is going to hold. What? Who holds the future? God does. Where's your hope placed? In God. In God. God can show us the right path to take on this journey so that when we get to the place over here, it's a higher place. We put our faith and our hope in God all day long. So that makes you a hopeaholic then. You know, we get addicted to things, right? Oh, yeah. I was watching a cartoon last night before I went to sleep. And it's called The Loud House. You ought to watch it. It's a great show. Comes on Nick. Anyway, I don't know about you, but I want to put good things in my head before I go to sleep. I don't need the 11 o'clock news. No, I don't want any nightmares. I want to have something light. But, you know, interestingly enough, the actual little segment was about a father whose kids had taught him how to use an iPhone and an iPad and a game and games. So there's this whole huge family of kids. I couldn't even count them all. There's like a zillion kids, thus the Loud House. And they were all on their devices. And then the father decides he's going to get on the device instead. So here he's sitting on the couch, and he's playing the games and so on and so forth. And mom is out somewhere, and the kids are hungry. And they're like, hey, Dad, we're hungry. He's like, okay, right after this game, And it went on and on and on. And all the kids are like, we got to do something about dad. He's become addicted to these games. We got to do something about him. And so the kids plot and plan. They're thinking, well, how can we stop him? They have this meeting together. And they're thinking, well, I'll tell you what. You take the iPhone. You take the iPad. You shut down the computer. And they're like, no, that's not going to work. Because he'll go find them wherever we put them. And so instead what they do is they decide to get rid of the internet altogether. Zip. I know. Take it easy. Actually, this wasn't such a funny show after all. My heart was counting to go. Like, oh, right? Oh, I hope nobody ever takes my devices from me, right? And so dad starts having this withdrawal thing, and I'm not going to tell you the whole, you got to watch this thing. But anyway, what transpires is eventually the kids decide, each one of them comes to him and asks him to play a game. So the dad goes outside and he's playing catch with a football. Then he's playing hockey with one of the other kids. And then they're doing a jigsaw puzzle and all of a sudden, all these kids have got dad involved in interaction instead. How cool is that? Is that not a message? And so, obviously, the happy ending to the story is the kids say, good, dad's off those devices. Now we can play with ours. No. Imagine if we could be addicted to hope like that. Imagine if, no matter what was going on in our life, on any given moment, that suddenly we would believe so much in the future that the future is good. And not one of demise. If we could think that God was conspiring for us instead of against us. That all good things are coming our way. That's what hope is. Hope is having only positive expectations. Expecting what? The best. Expecting God to deliver. Expecting good to come. Expecting us to be able to make it through this life to a better place. And that no matter what we're faced with, we always, always, always can have hope. We're never without hope. As long as we have God, we always have hope. Now, will the hope come instantaneously? Yes. I said hope. Aha! Caught you there. Aha! Will the problem get solved instantaneously? No. But the hope that it will always sustain us through, won't it? You know, there's a cool story of many, many years. As many of you know, I was in sales for a number of years, so I've heard all kinds of seminars and all kinds of training. And one time there was a seminar about how to always have the right attitude about how you expect your customer to buy from you. That was the attitude all of us were supposed to have. That no matter what they look like, whether or not you qualified them or they look like they could have buy what your product you were selling, you had to have hope, then believe that they could buy from you. And that was our attitude we were supposed to have. And that would give you a better closing ratio. And they told us this story about there was a shoe company and they were trying to expand around the world. And they sent a salesman to Africa. The country was Africa. And they sent him there expecting him to sell a lot of shoes. And so when he got to Africa, he called back the home office and said, you got to take me back. None of these people have shoes. I can't sell a thing. So they shipped him back. And then they sent another salesperson over there. Who called back the office and send me thousands and thousands of shoes. Nobody in this country wears shoes. They needed them, right? You see the difference in attitude? You see that somebody that expects good to happen and expected, looked at the bright side of it, saw opportunity versus negativity and what can't be done? You see what hope does for you? And there's another great story about these two boys that they lived on a farm and it was getting to be around Christmas time and they go upstairs to the room and it's the night before Christmas and there's all this manure in the room. And one of the boys runs out and goes, oh my God, it stinks in there, oh my God. Dad must have taken all the compost and put it in our room to punish us. We're not getting anything for Christmas. And the other boy starts digging in the manure and digging in the manure and digging in the manure. And the father runs in and says, what are you doing? He says, with all this manure, there's got to be a pony in here. You see what being a hopeaholic will cause you to do? Believe in miracles. And sometimes when a little bit of crap gets into your life, start digging in it because there's something good in there. There always is, isn't there? Remember, O Lord, your unfailing love and compassion, which you have shown from long ages past. Forgive the rebellious sins of my youth. Look instead through the eyes of your unfailing love, for you're a merciful God. You see, David, even though he wanted God to remember God's love and forget David's sins, which is exactly what God does. And that's why David had hope. It says in the very last verse of 21, it says, may integrity and honesty protect me, for I put my hope in you. So how do we get hope? Where does it come from? It comes from God. How do we receive it? How do we keep it close to us? Trust. Faith. Love. Believing in God's power, God's strength, God's love. Believing that no matter what we face or what we're going through, that we always, always, always have God. And if we always have God, we always have hope. And the last thing I want to say about hope is this. I think we have to help other people excel. When we help other people excel in their faith and in their growth and in their hope, that gives them hope. And then when their hope is realized, you know, when your pony really is in there, and you go, wow, look at the blessing. I've been living in all this manure. You know, there's something about fertilizer that helps us grow. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for the fertilizer. Thank you for the pruning. And even though it's happening, I have hope that I'm going to blossom and bear fruit, right? We must keep hope alive. When you doubt, when you fear, that means you need to get to the meeting. You got to come back to the meeting and say, well, I used to be a hopeaholic. I need to get back to being that again. I need to admit that I am afraid sometimes. I need to admit that I'm doubtful sometimes. I need to admit that things aren't going right in my life right now. And I need hope. And so we're going to hand out some chips, aren't we? Right? We call it prayer chips. We call it prayer. We call it communion. We call it blessing you. And saying, well, I'll tell you what, I got a lot of hope. I can share some with you. When you need hope, you come to the place where hope is. Hope is in this place. Hope is in this place. When do you need hope? All day long. And I hope and I pray that the other things that you get addicted to, like being mediocre or like being negative or by maybe looking realistically at life, that you, instead of just looking at the manure and thinking, oh, God, that stinks, it's awful, or those people in Africa have no shoes, I could never sell them anything, or whatever it is that you can't think you can do, that I pray instead you remember, have only positive expectations and watch and see what God will do. And if you don't have enough hope, we have enough to share here, don't we? I hope and pray always that you will always see the best in yourself, that you'll always find a way and ask God to show you the way, and that you will continue to get addicted to God's power, God's love, God's mercy. And no matter what comes your way, you can always say, I put my trust and hope in you, God. Therefore, I shall be victorious, no matter what. There's one thing about Jesus Christ. You can't keep a good man down. And nothing else can keep any one of you down either. God will rise us all up. We have to remember to keep that hope alive. Our world needs hope more than it needs anything. And you know what I hope? I hope that everybody begins to come to the meetings and find the source of hope, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.